Chapter 75. Reacher got to the top of the ladder and felt around in the dark and used an afterimage of what he had seen. He figured the hatch might weigh a few tons, maybe more, if it was some kind of a sophisticated steel and concrete sandwich construction. Which it might be, because of radiation concerns. Those old-time architects would have been well-schooled in such things, possibly by the pointy heads at the University of California. No point in designing a hatch to survive a blast if it was going to leak gamma rays afterwards. But no human could lift several tons while standing on a ladder, which meant the bulk of the weight would be counterbalanced by the springs, which meant the hatch should open with a decent push. He pushed. The hatch rose 2 inches, accompanied by deep twanging and grinding from the springs. Loud. He waited. A band of not quite black showed around the three sides of the rim. He figured the sentries would be standing at the edge railing, which would put 3/4 of them some distance away. The roof was the size of Yankee Stadium. Only those on the south side were close. He pushed again, harder. The hatch rose another foot. More twanging and grinding. No reaction. He pushed again. The hatch opened all the way. 90 degrees, like a door. He looked up and saw a square of dark Missouri sky. The hatch was hinged on the north side of the square. The ladder was bolted to the east side, which meant he would come out with his front and his back and his right-hand side all vulnerable, which meant he should come out fast, which was not easy to do. No way of keeping his finger on the trigger. The moment of maximum danger. Every mission had one. He hated stairs. He hated leading with his head. He clamped the Colt in his right hand between the flat of his thumb and his palm. He jumped his left hand up, rung by rung. He got the Colt out and put his knuckles on the roof like an ape. He twisted at the waist and got his left hand flat on the concrete. He took a breath and counted to 3 and vaulted out. He got up in a crouch and held the Colt high, jerking it side to side as he scanned around. The house storm and shuffle all over again. He was close to the edge of the roof on the south side. To his half-left was the sterile southeastern corridor. No one there. To his right was the west, with a lone shadowy figure far away at the rail, looking away from him. He turned north and saw 5 figures staring out where Bale's GPS had shown the 2-lane. They thought Sorensen's approach had been a cross-country diversion. They thought the main attack was coming from the road. Overthinking and paranoia. He clicked the second Colt to single shots and moved behind the upright hatch. It would give him partial 3/4 cover from the west and the north. He rested his left elbow on it. He sighted in on the guy in the west. 200 feet, maybe. An easy shot with any kind of a rifle. An easy shot with any kind of an H&K sub, which were generally as good as rifles at short to medium distances. Unknown with the Colt. But better than the Glock. A handgun at 200 feet was the same thing as crossing your fingers and making a wish. Reacher was a good long-distance marksman. He had won competitions, but not under conditions like he faced at that moment. He needed to see 2 things at once. His current target and the reaction from the other 5 guys 300 feet and 70 degrees farther on when they heard the shot. He needed to see their vague silhouettes turn towards the sound. He needed to identify the shape of the M14. He needed to know which one of them was a sniper, because the sniper was next. He rested the front sight on the guy in the west. He breathed out and kept his lungs empty. Calm and quiet. Calm and quiet. He could feel his heart, but the front sight wasn't moving. He was good to go. He eased his trigger finger tighter. And tighter. Smooth. Microscopic. Relentless. Flesh on metal on metal. He felt the break coming. The gun fired. Bright flash, loud sound. Bullseye. The guy in the west jerked slightly and fell down vertically. The 5 guys in the north spun around. The sniper was the middle guy. 3rd from the left, 3rd from the right. Reacher saw the M14 in his hands. Slope arms out in front of him, turning with him. A familiar shape. 47 inches long, the dull gleam of walnut in the moonlight, almost 400 feet away. Reacher moved around the raised hatch lid, slow and easy, no rush at all, and he sighted in, and he breathed in, and breathed out, and out, and out. and he fired again. A miss. But not a disaster. The round drifted a little left and down and caught the next guy low in the throat. Reacher leaned a fraction clockwise to compensate and fired again. But by that point, the four survivors were all moving. A 9mm parabellum takes a third of a second to travel 400 feet, and a third of a second is long enough for a guy to move enough. A miss. No one went down. One in the chamber, 17 in the box. Reacher moved his thumb and switched to triples. His preferred option with a B-grade weapon. Quantity, not quality. A random little triangle, like jabbing with a three-legged stool. He aimed generally right and fired. The right-hand guy went down. Three survivors. From left to right, numbers 1, 3, and 4. They all knelt and fired back. Wild misses, except for the M14. The 308 came close. But not very, which was telling. The guy was okay with no pressure at all, but in the heat of the moment, he wasn't the best in the world. Reacher figured they could put that on the guy's tombstone. Great against unresisting women in the dark, otherwise not so much. Reacher fired again at numbers 3 and 4, the sniper and his immediate neighbor, like a composite target, a triple. Number 4 went down, not the sniper, two survivors. Reacher had one in the chamber and 11 in the box, plus the Glock and two spare magazines, one of them full and one of them too short. He could use the Glock's rounds in the Colt if he had to, same 9mm parabellums. The magic of standardization. He had no idea what the two survivors had left. The M14 was most likely using a 20-round magazine. The other guy's gun might have been anything. A long duel was a possibility. Up close and personal. Within sight. An infantry slugfest. The real kings of battle. A vulgar brawl. Which was the kind of fight Reacher liked best. Numbers 1 and 3 were still kneeling, not close together. Reacher heaved the hatch lid closed and lay down behind it. He clicked back to singles. He wrapped himself around the dome of the hatch and got himself comfortable. The sniper fired at him. Better this time. The round hit the hatch and clanged away, a giant ricochet that might have made it all the way to Lacey's store. Reacher lay still, calm and quiet and comfortable. He fired back and hit the sniper. Very low on the left side, he thought, maybe in the hip. Nothing but a flesh wound. Not fatal, but certainly a distraction. The guy spun away and went down prone. Smaller target. The other guy followed suit. He went down flat and started blazing away. Some kind of an attempted covering fire. Dangerous only to people in the next county. But at least the guy was showing some kind of solidarity. Reacher sighted in on the muzzle flash and took his time. He aimed a little high and a little right to allow for what seemed like persistent drift, and he tried to skip one off the concrete and up into the guy's face. Too dark to see if it worked, but certainly the guy stopped firing. Maybe he was only reloading, or taking a nap. But he looked very still. Then, a distant car drove left to right on the two-lane, maybe 600 yards away, with its lights on bright, and the moving bubble in the mist backlit the situation for a second, and Reacher came to the conclusion the guy was permanently out of action. He was sprawled in an odd position. Reacher moved his aim a fraction back to the wounded sniper. One in the chamber, 9 in the box. 10 chances, a static target, 400 feet. He used the same high and right compensation and fired again. And again. And again. He felt he was hitting, but he couldn't see for sure. There was no answering fire. Then the same car came back the other way on the two-lane. Lost, maybe. Or worried about the gunshots. Not a cop, probably. No blue lights, no red lights, and no sane cop would parade back and forth in the line of fire. The moving bubble of light framed the view for a second. Soft and vague. The sniper wasn't moving. He looked hunched, head down, and inert. Reacher fired again. And again. One in the chamber, 4 in the box. He had all the visual information he was going to get. He could fire 1,000 times and be no surer than he already was. He came out from behind the dome and started a low crawl north, elbows and toes, slow and painful on the concrete. No reaction from up ahead. No incoming rounds. Reacher held his fire. No point in identifying his position with the muzzle flash. He stopped 150 feet away, just for a moment, to assess and evaluate. Still no movement, just vague shapes, humped and low. Then the same car drove by on the two-lane, for a third time, same bright lights, same moving bubble. Reacher started to worry a little about who it was. Nosy neighbors could be a problem. 9mm rounds fired in the open were not loud, but they would be audible at a reasonable distance. The car's lights showed an unchanged situation. No movement, no sign of life. Possibly a trap. Reacher crawled onward, slow and easy. He would hear the hatch behind him if a new player wanted to join in the fun. The springs were loud. The sentries must have heard him, too, when he'd come up the ladder, but at that point the sentries hadn't known there were hostiles already inside the building. Maybe they thought they were getting reinforcements, or a cup of coffee and a sandwich. In that respect, they hadn't been paranoid enough. Reacher stopped again 50 feet out. There was no movement ahead, nothing at all. He stood up and walked the rest of the way. And found the 5 humped shapes, more or less all in a line in the dark. 5 men, 4 dead. The sniper was still breathing. He must have been hit 3 or 4 times. Still alive. Lucky. But not very. Reacher kicked the M14 away and slung the Colt back on his shoulder. He grabbed the guy by the belt and dragged him to the rail. He lifted him over by his belt and the collar of his coat. Then he dropped him. The guy bounced once on the stepped concrete radius and fell 40 feet to the ground. Let's see if they can hit a major league fastball. Strike 3, pal. Reacher turned and jogged the 400 feet back to the domed hatch. He heaved the lid open and felt with his feet for the ladder.